The scripture reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 4, and then continuing with verses 12 through 28. Joseph dreams of greatness. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably to him. And then continuing with verse 12, Joseph is sold by his brothers. Now his brothers went back to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring me word back to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I'm seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where are they pasturing the flock?" The man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit where in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat. And looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels carrying gum, balm, and resin, on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Can you hear me okay? The Irish poet and playwright Oscar Wilde once said this: "Children begin by loving their parents. As they grow older, they judge them. Sometimes they forgive them." Unquote. Even Oscar Wilde had said this over a century ago, it still sounds true. If you have an adult son or a daughter, or more grown children, you would understand what his saying means. As time passes, as everyone gets older and wiser, the relationships with your children and your parents too normally change. While some families are getting along just fine, some families, unfortunately and sadly, are falling apart. While some of you are happy and thriving with everyone in your family, some of you become estranged and disconnected from your family members. Why? It's mainly because each family has a unique system of family dynamics. Family dynamics are generally known as the patterns of relating or interactions between family members. Yes, each family and its individual member has different personalities, expectations, dreams, hopes, values, goals, philosophies of life, interests, desires, and so forth. Obviously, even under the same roof, there are always potential tensions, conflicts, strife, and even animosity against another family member. This morning's scripture from Genesis chapter 7 shows the story of the family of Jacob, but this main character from this passage is actually Joseph, who is only 17 years old. Sadly, he is definitely being bullied by his older brothers. All the 10 older brothers of Joseph are actually his half-brothers with the same father, Jacob, but with different mothers. This story of Jacob's family appears to be some kind of a dysfunctional family. In some sense, this ancient family dynamics is not so much different from any dysfunctional family in modern day. From this morning's Genesis passage alone, I can detect many problems in this family. Sibling rivalry and jealousy sound to be rather common things here, right? What else do you see? Child abuse, child endangerment, bullying, harassment, attempted murder, human trafficking, and even elder abuse and scam. These bad brothers lied to their elderly father, Jacob, saying that Joseph is killed by a wild animal and showing him a fake evidence. Joseph is 17-year-old boy who is loved by his elderly father, Jacob. Verse 3 says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a long robe with sleeves." The name Israel here refers to Jacob. His new name was given by the angel of the Lord. Remember the Jacob story? Yes, we can see Jacob's favorite son is Joseph. However, sadly, Jacob's obvious favoritism results in Joseph's life and death trouble. Joseph is almost killed by his brothers, but his life is spared. Now, he's being sold to Egypt. So I name my sermon part one of the Joseph saga as the beginning of the prelude to Exodus. This Joseph story will help us to understand the background story of Moses and Exodus even better. Joseph is the main reason why the Israelites were living in Egypt in the first place. From Joseph's life, based on Genesis this morning, chapter 37, I'd like to share with you my 3 points. Number one, bad things happen to everyone. Joseph's early childhood life seems to be unfair and even horrible. Even though young boy Joseph is Jacob's favorite son, he is always bullied by his older brothers. Jacob has 12 sons and one daughter. However, by age, Joseph is only number 11 son, his second youngest one. Benjamin is the only younger brother and only brother who has the same mother, Rachel. So imagine the tensions and conflicts, especially among these brothers. The 10 stronger and older brothers versus number 11 Joseph, who is still a minor. The young Joseph is probably soft, kind, but weak and naive. He always becomes a target of mistreatment, hatred, and hostility from his brothers. Then Joseph is almost killed by his brothers, but eventually he is sold as a slave to another foreign country, Egypt. We already know the whole story of Joseph and how his life would turn out to be an amazing journey. However, for Joseph himself, who is almost killed by his brothers and sold by his brothers, and all the bad things seem to happen to him now, Joseph is being thrown into a dark and cold pit, not knowing what's going to happen next. As a young boy, Joseph's life is drastically disrupted by other people and other people's decisions. My friends in Christ, as you reflect your own past life, including your early childhood and youth, your 30s, your 40s, and 50s, and up to this moment, you would realize that your life is consisting of many good things and bad things as well. Moreover, you would realize that throughout your life, there have been so many things given and happened beyond your control or expectations. How can you predict or stop any accident or any illness or any natural disasters that are happening in your life? If you have experienced any bad things, unfortunate event, or a horrible accident beyond your choices, always remember, it is not your fault. Of course not. As we go through this time of a pandemic crisis now, we feel like we are in exile. We are being isolated. We are forced to have very limited interactions with other people. No one wants it, but it is happening. In this situation, we must do our best in order to keep ourselves safe, sound, sane, and healthy. I don't believe this deadly coronavirus is God's way of punishing us. No, bad things can happen to anyone at any time. From the Upper Room Disciplines, a Book of Daily Devotions 2020, Professor Frank Rogers, Jr., of Clement School of Theology writes this while sharing a devotion on one of the Psalms. I think his point can be related to Joseph's life and ours too. He says, quote, "When in exile, in grief, or in heartache, such moments keep us alive," unquote. We do not know why bad things happen in life. Yet, at least these bad experiences keep us alive, help us to be resilient and be strong if we continue trusting in God in all circumstances. Number two, never stop dreaming or dancing. Roy T. Bennett, a motivational author, once wrote, quote, "There are five important things for living a successful and fulfilling life. Never stop dreaming, never stop believing, never give up, never stop trying, never stop learning." Unquote. The first one is never stop dreaming. When we look at the big picture of the Joseph saga, we know that Joseph has been, still is, and will be a dreamer throughout all his life. Yes, Joseph is given a certain gift regarding dreams. Because of this gift, his brothers, and they, while mocking him, call him a dreamer and give him hard times. Verses 19 and 20, they said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." However, by the grace of God, because of the same dreaming gift later in Egypt, he will be given a chance to rise from the bottom of life, his life, to something amazing. Joseph never stops dreaming, of course. In his case, it is both literal sense and metaphorical sense. Joseph is just trying to be who he is, Joseph as a dreamer. However, his older brothers are not comfortable with Joseph's presence. They just hate him so much. And eventually they conspire to kill him. Nevertheless, the Bible continues to mention Joseph's gift of dreaming. Whatever gift, whatever skill or talent you have, keep using it for the glory of God. Never stop dreaming and never stop dancing. According to the Bible, the ancient Israelites enjoyed dancing to celebrate God's victory and to express gratitude and joy. So dancing in your life means that you never stop praising God's name for your beautiful life. Even though your life now does not appear to be beautiful, never stop dancing. It's an affirmation of your strong faith in God, who always sustains you no matter what. Recently, I have watched the 2019 movie Jojo Rabbit on HBO Max. I've got a new internet service from AT&T at home, and it comes with a free HBO Max online. Anyhow, I have enjoyed this comedy drama movie, Jojo Rabbit. The movie's background is almost the ending stage of World War II in Germany. This German boy, Jojo, is a Hitler-brainwashed youth member. One day, Jojo finds out his mother, Rosie, Scarlett Johansson acting, is hiding a Jewish girl in their attic. Somehow, Jojo, age 10, and this Jewish girl, Elsa, who is older than Jojo, gradually get to know each other and they become friends. Jojo begins to learn that Jewish people are the same human beings with love, dreams, and hopes, just like himself. And they are wonderful people, and they are wonderful people through the encounter with Elsa. And Jojo begins to question his belief in Nazis. Finally, their war is over. After having gone through so many challenges together, the final scene is that Jojo and Elsa slowly start dancing. What a beautiful ending scene it is. Why dancing? They had learned the meaning of dancing from Jojo's mom, Rosie. Rosie had said in the movie, quote, "Life is a gift. We must celebrate it. We have to dance to show God we are grateful to be alive. Dancing is for people who are free. It's an escape from all this," unquote. Then the movie ends with this screen from the poet Rainer Maria Rilke. He said, quote, "Let everything happen to you. Beauty and terror, just keep going. No feeling is final," unquote. Life is short and limited, yes, but yet it is God's gift for you. Never stop dreaming. Never stop dancing in your life. Number three, the best is yet to come in God's time. I heard that this phrase, "the best is yet to come," became popular when Tony Bennett's song came out in probably 1958. Now, this expression signifies an unwavering hope in uncertain times. When we add "in God's time," we can say this phrase urges us to hold on to the unwavering hope and faith in God while living in this time of crisis. It is such a heartbreaking situation for Joseph, not being able to defend himself from all his brothers' unfair and forceful treatment. Thank God, this poor young boy, Joseph, is not killed after all, yet his fears, his pains continue. He is now being sold as a slave to a foreign country, Egypt, and at this point, Joseph has no idea what kind of future awaits him. He is tired, he is lonely, and he is scared. It is not Joseph's request or wish to go to Egypt. It is not a tour. It is not an immigration, for it is never his choice or desire. Poor Joseph is a victim of a slavery trade. Probably Joseph does not even know where he is being taken to. Everything is talk. Everything is uncertain. Everything terrifies him. However, what keeps him alive is the hope and faith in God who sustains his life so that he can be him. What keeps you, or who keeps you, to stay alive and strong in this time of exile and disconnection? For me, it's Christ Jesus, who is the foundation of my faith. I have this hope and faith in Christ, Christ alone. One of my favorite Christian songs is "In Christ Alone." We'll be singing this song in a few minutes. The first stanza goes like this. "In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fieriest drought from storm. What height of love, what depth of peace, when fears are stilled, when strivings cease, my comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand." And here's the fourth stanza. "No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme or plan ever can pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ, I stand. My brothers and sisters in Christ, from your life's first cry up to now, no matter how pleasant and happy or how difficult or how miserable your life has been, you are here and now, and in your life now, the best is yet to come in God's time. We are embarking Joseph's life journey together. We are witnessing how God transforms Joseph's life from the bottom of life to the second in command Egyptian officials. And we will be seeing how Joseph will react to his brothers when encountering with them again. Joseph's story begins with family and ends with family. Please stay with me and finish reading of the book of Genesis by next Sunday. Moreover, our Wednesday Bible study via Zoom is on Genesis now, and we will be focusing on Joseph's saga too. So if anyone is interested in the Zoom Bible study, please email me for a link. It's every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Everyone is welcome. Thanks be to God. Amen.